praised, Creator of earth. I had to be reminded that He loved you first. It still hurts from the day when you bought it, dear strain. I take it if there was a way that I could see you again. This time not for peppermint or your famous iced tea, but just a few moments spent sitting and talking to me.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Hello. This is a beauty queen special for Hollywood Connections, Dawn Reese. I am Teresa Velasquez, a world classic tourism queen. That was Lee Knox's song, What Would You Say? Lee is a musician, composer, singer, and author. He has written many songs, thousands of songs. He is amazing. And we have a guest by the name of Aria Pauline Galvez. Aria?
Hello.
Hi, Aria. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you. She is a former Miss Philippines USA 2019. And could you tell us a little bit about that experience? How did you get started participating in pageants?
Well, I think that the Miss Philippines USA has been the best thing that happened to me because it was my first pageant, and being my first pageant and then I won two major titles, I think it really changed my confidence and how I carry myself. And, well, I started doing pageants because of my mom. She used to be a beauty queen in her youth, so she encouraged me a lot. And in the Philippines, beauty pageants are like a big deal. It's like a sport. People have their bets, they cheer. So it's basically like the Super Bowl. So, like, for example, if Miss Universe is happening, everybody just stop and watch because it's a big deal for Filipinos.
Right. Someone representing your country is a big deal. And that's a beautiful pageant. I love the Miss Universe. I try and watch it every year. And, the prizes are great, too. So that's the thing about pageants. You get to win prizes and trophies and your sashes and your crowns, and you get to do platforms, represent your platform. What is your platform?
Well, my platform is basically I want to help kids that have mental disabilities to grow independent in their lives and feel empowered. This comes from my little brother because he grew up with like ADHD and other stuff. And I know how hard it is for kids to grow up that way, hence why I want to bring to use my platform to help these kids. And eventually, I'm planning, or I've been planning to go to medical school, and I've been working towards it too.
What kind of doctor did you want to become?
Well, I want to be a pediatrician, but I think over the years, I just want to be a occupational therapist because it will be more hands-on, and I think I'll do more impact with kids like my brother.
That sounds great. Also, in your pageant, you did a talent. Did you sing or dance? What'd you do?
I danced with my dad. I did dance sports. It's like Dancing with the Stars.
Uh-huh.
I did cha-cha-cha. And it was a great experience because I haven't danced with my dad seriously like that in a competition. So having that father and daughter thing was a great experience.
Was that part of the Miss Philippines pageant?
Yes. It was for a title, like most talented, I think. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that was part of the pageant. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know they have mother-daughter pageants and things like that. But that's interesting to have your dad involved. I think that's wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you.
That is great. And then how did you get your training?
Well, since my mother was a former beauty queen, I got a lot of help from her and also from my friends who are beauty queens, and as well as my mom's old coaches. So it was really a big team effort from everyone, and I really do genuinely thank everyone who was a part of my journey.
Wow, that's so wonderful. Yeah, are you going to continue doing pageants, or what are you planning?
Well, for now, I really want to finish college and try to get into modeling and in the entertainment industry. I don't know where my life will take me in about a year. We'll see if I still have the pageant bug.
<laughs> So we'll see. All right. Well, Aria, we're going to have our topic for this show is Olympic Games. And you can join us later on what you think about the Olympics and what's your favorite sport and that sort of thing. Our next guest is Randall Rutledge. Randall, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hey, Randall, how you doing?
Pretty good, not too bad.
Wow, just so nice to hear you. Hey, Randall is a producer, singer, he's a musician, he's an author, he does many things. And we're going to play his song for now. It's a Big Money Blues song.
So high. I got the big so hard. I got the big money blues, all my troubles are stacked so high. Don't know what I'm gonna do, all my friends keep passing me by. Don't know what I'm gonna do, all my friends keep passing me by.
That's Big Money Blues. And Randall has won many awards for his songs and his films at the film and music festivals. Randall, could you tell us a little bit about your background and all the awards you have won?
Yeah, I started submitting. A friend of mine in L.A., I called him, and he told me to submit my screenplays to film festivals. I said, I thought you had to have a short film or a trailer. He said, no. He said, a lot of film festivals have screenplay categories. So I started it, and to date, with just my screenplays, I've won 61 international film festivals with my screenplays, and one for my Western novel that will soon be published for Best Adventure Western Manuscript. So I'm kind of happy about it all, but kind of shocked. Same time.
Amazing, huh? Awesome.
And
it's not easy to win one of those film music festivals.
Oh, you got a lot of competition there. I mean, I don't really like to call other writers or other producers or actors, etc. I don't like to call them my competition. I like to call them my inspiration.
Your inspiration, okay. That works. But it's just so great that, you know, you've won so many. I've never seen anybody win so many film and music festivals. Dawn just submitted our show for the International Christian Film Festival for her Miracle Stories show. And hopefully we'll, you know, be nominated, and she gets to walk the red carpet for us, and, you know, things can happen from there. It's just wonderful. She's going to also be there with her boat. I mean, her, because they started a boat business over there, her and her husband, so they're going to be promoting that. And hopefully we can all go and meet up with her someday. What else would you like us to know about you? I know you're a musician, you're an author, you're a singer, you're an actor, you're a director, producer, and a business person, and you do it all.
Yeah, I had one friend of mine one day ask me, said, about all this stuff. He said, is there anything you can't do? I said, sure, I can't fix your car. I'm not a mechanic.
Did you learn all this stuff in the military? Because I know you're a military person. Mm-hmm. And did you learn that? I know you had you were also a martial artist and a champion at that, right?
Yeah, I'm a two-time international taekwondo champion.
I taekwondo.
Won two medals back in, I believe it was 2000, at CBS Studio Centers in Studio City, California, at the International Taekwondo competition.
Wow. That's great. But you started early on in life, right, when you were a kid? You said one time that you wanted to be in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, at the time, 1967, I was 6 years old. I'm ancient. I'm old as dirt and twice as dusty, but I was 6 years old. We were filming the movie Trail of Tears at the time in my hometown, the only movie ever filmed in my hometown. But it starred Johnny Cash and Jack Palance. So I got to meet Johnny Cash at 6 years old, and I told my family at six, one of these days I'm going to do what Johnny Cash does. And one of my uncles said, well, what is that? Well, I'm going to make a record in Nashville, and I'm going to work in movies. Well, naturally, they laughed at me. 14 years later, I was in Hollywood after I got out of the Marine Corps working on my first movie, Scarface, with Al Pacino, Michelle Pfeiffer, directed by Brian De Palma. I was just an extra on that movie, but I've been doing this 40 years.
You have the dream of seeing that, and you want it to. You're motivated. In other words, you want something in life, you go for it, and yeah, you can do it. You know. So anyway, Randall, thank you. I'd love for you to return to the show and talk with us a little bit about your back, some more about your background. Right now, we're going to be talking about the Olympics and the sports and all that. Nancy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey. Anyway, I wanted to say something about the Olympics, and I wanted to introduce Nancy. Nancy is a World Ms. Classic Tourism 2022. She'll be talking about the Senior Olympics, but I wanted to touch on the actual Olympics. The Olympics are about diversity, as you know, and unity. They started back in the year 776 BC in Olympia, Greece. The Olympic Games are about sports. It includes athletes with disabilities. And I enjoy figure skating, the costumes, the music, the partnership, and how graceful the couples are on the ice. Reminds me of ballroom dancers, and that's why I love it. Nancy, now I know you're involved with Senior Olympics. Could you tell us a little bit about that and how it's done at the Senior Center in Northwest Louisiana?
Yes. The nursing homes facilities, before COVID hit, of course, they, you know, it wouldn't be just one nursing home. It would be several, you know, and for months they would be preparing for this. And, of course, everyone just totally enjoys it. They would have things such as the beanbag toss where they would take the beanbag and would be tossing it. It would be a wooden container with a hole cut out of it. So they would practice, you know, up until time for it, of course. They would stand at a certain place and have to toss the beanbag into the hole. And, of course, if it didn't go in the hole, you know, that didn't count. And they were given, like, you know, three beanbags to toss into that hole. So, you know, if
and
they
got
one
And that's just on
in,
distance, right? That's judged on distance?
Yes. You know, okay. And then, of course, they'd get the points for how many, you know, they got in the hole. So, you know, if they got all three in, then, you know, that'd be three. If they got one, you know, that'd be just one. If they didn't get any in, of course, that'd be zero. And then they also would have, like, type of a bowling, but it wouldn't, you know, be bowling. It would be the same type setup with the wooden box, and they would have the holes drilled as if it was, you know, the pins, mm-hmm. you know, have the setup of the pins or like in a triangle.
Yeah.
And it would still be, you know, a beanbag toss for that.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah. So, you know, it'd be, you know, which hole they got the beanbag in there. And then one that I always totally enjoyed watching was the wheelchair race.
Yeah.
And they could either race forward or backwards, whichever one that they could, you know, get their wheelchair going the fastest. Because some of them could travel faster going backwards. And, I mean, it would be like the distance of the auditorium.
Oh,
and
okay.
To watch them get, yeah, you know, to watch them get those wheelchairs going, it was like, wow. You know, because mm-hmm. they could really get going in those wheelchairs. And, you know, we'd have, like, two going at a time. You know, and they would have, you know, them timed. You know, and so then, you know, after everybody has gone, then they would, you know, have, you know, certain speeds. Then, okay, now you and you compete against each other. You know, and then the ones with the fastest time, there would be a wheelchair that had been donated.
Mm-hmm.
And the one with the fastest time won a wheelchair. And
plus
the
medallions,
you know,
right? And the trophies.
Well,
and all
that came up also. But, I mean, this is what the ones for the wheelchair race were really racing for. Because they usually needed a new wheelchair since that's what they were. They were wheelchair bound. So, you know, they were really racing for that wheelchair. And, of course, when it was all over with, you know, okay, at the very beginning, they did the ceremony just like the ceremony at the Olympics, you know, where they are carrying the flags and going around in the circle and have the music and everything. And they have, you know, the preacher come out and bless everything, and you say the Pledge of Allegiance and all of that. And then at the end, you know, they have the ceremony where, you know, everybody gets their medallion, they get their, you know, trophies as to, you know, where they place. So, you know, which right now, because of COVID last year and this year, of course, you know, they didn't get to compete of each nursing home against each nursing home. So the ones that I normally go to, they are actually having each of their residents compete against each other. Mm-hmm. Now, the wheelchair race, they're not doing that because they don't have the facility to be able to race the distance. So, you know, they're not having that one. And the wheelchair is usually, you know, sponsored by a big company. And so that's another reason they're not having the wheelchair race. But they are having the other, you know, the beanbag toss and the bowling and this, that, and the other. But, you know, the big wheelchair race, they're not having that.
When do they have these? About this time? What month do they start these? This
month? Because they usually have it going along with the Olympics.
Got it. Okay, so
that way you know everybody's in the Olympic mood.
Yeah, because you have the disabled persons, and you also have people from the nursing homes and stuff. I think that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And you know, it's for they do it for health reasons and staying active, and it's good for them. It's good for their health. You know,
definitely.
I think it's wonderful. Yeah, it's wonderful. And now the nursing homes. How many do you think they have?
When they were having the Olympics over in Bossier, they would have, I'd say, 20 to 25, if not more. And they would even give first, second, and third place to the nursing homes that actually, because you would decorate your area. And they would give out prizes for that. And I know, because 1 year with the nursing home that I was helping, I forget exactly what it was, what they called it, but they made it to where we had like hay bales and a fence and had a saddle sitting on the fence. Well, there was a barrel that was sideways and had the saddle on it. And I mean, we took pictures on the saddle like we were riding. And on the wall, they even had that decorated. You know, and so we had, you know, different people that were not associated with any of the nursing homes that came around, you know, deciding, you know, who got first, second, and third place. And so, you know, when they would get to the nursing home that I was with, you know, I made sure that, hey, look, come back over here because this is part of the decoration. Because, you know, they would just look at the front, and I was like, no, come back here. You got to see this, too. Because, you know, several of the homes, they did, they decorated all the way to the back wall. And the judges didn't know that. And so
that's
it's like,
great.
No, you got to come back here and look here,
I hope, you know, I hope they continue doing this, not just in your area, but I hope the whole United States gets involved. And, you know, the word of mouth gets around, and they start telling each other, you know, about this event, and hopefully it'll go to other areas, too. Anyway, Nancy, we're at the end of the show, and now we're going to be playing Lee's song, and it's a different song. Thank you, Nancy. God bless, and I'll talk to you later.
Okie doke, sweetie.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
What you said before, your heart, will you say it again? Say you love me. Say you love me. I need to hear it, feel it completely. Let me hear you say you love me. I hang on to my
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.